time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers, Daniel Jobber.
What's up, everybody? This is Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal, Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, here with another Jobbing Out with Danimal, Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report, courtesy of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. I hope all of you had a wonderful week. In sports this week, the Edmonton Oilers trade Jordan Eberle to the New York Islanders for Ryan Strome. The CFL also kicked off the regular season this week as well, and you may have already seen the Montreal Alouettes defeat the Saskatchewan Roughriders 17-16 after the Roughriders missed a last-second field goal for the win. In wrestling, the SmackDown-exclusive pay-per-view turned out to be, in my opinion, rather lackluster and controversial. There were no title changes, and even Alberta's own Jinder Mahal retained the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. The men's Money in the Bank winner turned out to be Baron Corbin, one of my favorite heels from NXT. Be sure to check out my bonus Jobbing Out podcast this week, in which I review the Money in the Bank pay-per-view in its entirety, by the way. The Women's Money in the Bank winner was Carmella, but it was in controversial style, and the WWE took a bunch of flack for it because a man, James Ellsworth, actually climbed the ladder, unhooked the briefcase, and dropped it down to Carmella in the first Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. There's actually so much controversy, in fact, that a man helped her in the first Women's Money in the Bank ladder match that general manager Daniel Bryan on SmackDown Live decided to strip Carmella of the briefcase and replay the Money in the Bank ladder match on next week's SmackDown Live. So not only do we get the historical first Women's Money in the Bank ladder match and then a second one, it's also the first time a Money in the Bank ladder match has ever had a rematch due to a controversial ending. On Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns started things off by declaring himself the number one contender for the Universal Championship for SummerSlam, and that he would face the winner of Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, at Great Balls of Fire, essentially exercising his power as the big dog of the yard, who apparently makes such rules. Then, Seth Rollins declared that he was going to be the cover athlete for WWE 2K18 coming out later this year. Samoa Joe defeated Roman Reigns when Reigns was distracted by the extreme premature return of injured Braun Strowman, who then challenged him to an ambulance match at the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. This basically confirmed that the apparent long-term injury of Braun Strowman was a storyline work. Finally, when confronted with video security evidence, Big Cass admitted he was the one who attacked Enzo last month due to being pushed over the edge by having to put up with Enzo as a partner all these years. He essentially turned heel and broke up the tag team. So yes, we saw the end of Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Recently, there was also a feel-good story of the week when Mauro Ranallo announced that he was returning to the WWE, but he would be announcing NXT, where he would not be working with JBL, who may have been responsible for pushing him into quitting by bullying him. I absolutely despise bullies, and therefore am quite happy to see Mauro Ranallo overcome this issue. All you people out there, don't be a bully. Now a word from my pals, Logan and Nacho Man. Yo, brother Nacho Man, Daniel Jobber's podcast is totally off the charts, eh, brother? Oh, yeah, Logan. Daniel Jobber can really take it to the limit, yeah. Oh, you said it, brother Nacho Man. Oh, yeah. My pals, Logan and Nacho Man, everybody. Nacho, Nacho Man. I've got to be a nacho man. Nacho, nacho man. Anyways. And now to this week's Cruiserweight action. On main event this week, it's the first time we see Grand Metalik in weeks as he faces Arya Divari. One of the big match highlights for me was when Grand Metalik jumped on the second rope and seemed to dance across the corner to the other side of the second rope and springboard off into a nice dropkick. Metalik covers, but is not able to get the three count. A moment later, Metalik has Divari stunned outside the ropes of the apron, and he runs across the ring and does a jumping hurricanrana, sending him and Divari hard to the floor outside the ring, shaking up both of them. Then Daivari crawls back into the ring while Metalik goes to the top turnbuckle, then walks over to the top rope and does a springboard elbow drop onto Daivari, once again unable to get the three count. The match ends right after this when Metalik tries and fails to hit Daivari with the Metalik driver when Daivari grabs and pulls on his mask. This distracts him just enough to force Metalik to put Daivari down and allows Daivari to hit a hammerlock lariat, knocking Metalik senseless and allowing him to get the three count for the victory. This is a pretty even and entertaining match. Then on Monday Night Raw, we have Akira Tozawa versus TJP. Titus O'Neil comes out to interrupt the announcer for the match to do his own announcement. He tries to promote the cruiserweight match with his own charismatic promo and announces Akira Tozawa as the future cruiserweight champion and tries to get the crowd excited by imitating Tozawa's battle cry, "Ugh! Ugh! It was a noble effort. By the way they portray the cruiserweights on Raw, Titus may as well be saying, "It's the Muppet Show! Their very special guest star, Mr. Akira Tozawa!" Akira Tozawa was able to get the crowd chanting, "Ah! Ah! Ah! Ah!" with him once again, and this is good to see for the Raw audience, which typically are not very warm to the cruiserweight matches. You could actually hear some of the cheers from the crowd for this match. Early on, the match stops for a moment as Neville's music hits, and Neville comes out to watch the match at the announcer's table. After the break, Tozawa tries to attack from the turnbuckle, but TJP moves out of the way and leaves the ring. However, Tozawa quickly runs and hits a high-paced suicide dive to make him pay for that. Then Tozawa throws TJP back into the ring and tries to rally the crowd with the battle cry again, and this time it sounds like a decent portion of the audience are chanting, "Ah! Ah! Ah!" Awesome. TJP tries to counter by suddenly throwing Tozawa's face into the turnbuckle, then hitting the gutbuster, but fails to get the three count. TJP then goes for the detonation kick, but Tozawa counters and hits an enziguri and then a gut-wrench suplex, causing TJP to roll into the corner. Having TJP in perfect position then, Tozawa climbs to the top turnbuckle, hits his flying senton bomb, and pins TJP for the three count. Titus O'Neil then comes in to raise Tozawa's hand in victory with the ref, and Tozawa gets that freaked out look of "what the fuck" on his face again. Then Titus starts promoting Tozawa and his match with Apollo Crews versus the tag team champions later on, grabbing Tozawa by the neck and pulling the poor little flocker around back and forth. And it reminds people that Tozawa is this close to signing with the Titus brand. When he does, he'll become the next cruiserweight champion, and next the money will roll in. Cha-ching! Cha-ching! Then Neville interrupts him and promos off against Titus and tells Tozawa to tread carefully, because if he disrespects the king of the cruiserweights, he won't even get a chance to bend his knee in respect, because he will be annihilated. Then Titus tells Neville that he doesn't see some brave king, but some frightened little kid, and that the Neville level will surely be annihilated by the power of Tozawa. Him and Tozawa then join in a battle cry, "Ah! Ah! Ah!" as the Raw segment ends. Then to 205 Live. Before the show starts, they have a segment where Akira Tozawa is talking with Rich Swann in Japanese, and then Swann switches to English, saying that tonight is a big night for him because he has the champ Neville in the main event. Then in comes Titus O'Neil going, "Cha-ching! Cha-ching! 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 Cha-ching!" Now that's a beat I can get down to. As Rich Swann goes to leave, Titus says to Swann, "Whoa, come on now. You got all that star power in the world? You could very well be part of the Titus brand, too. But look, man, you ain't the Weekend. Do something with your hair, bro." Titus then reminds Tozawa about his victory over TJP and how he is the perfect man to take the Titus brand to the international level, especially after he becomes the next cruiserweight champion. Titus O'Neil asks Akira Tozawa to sign with the Titus brand so that the money he has promised can roll in. Tozawa shakes his head and refuses to sign. So Titus then says he'll add 5% to Tozawa's first merchandise deal. He says he already has the perfect marketing pitch, the Tozawa towel. People will be waving them all over the place. Tozawa refuses to sign again, so Titus says he needs a few days, but he'll be back next week on Raw with a deal that Tozawa will not be able to refuse. He says that once Tozawa signs, they both will be able to say, "Cha-cha-cha-ching! Cha-cha-cha-ching!" As Titus leaves, Tozawa has a look of doubt and concern on his face as the show begins. Do you think Tozawa should sign? Do you think Tozawa will sign? I want to know what you guys think. I'm planning on putting surveys up on my Twitter at DanielJobber, capital D, capital J, so make sure you look for that for your chance to give your thoughts on the matter. And the show starts with the first match. Gentleman Jack Gallagher versus the premier athlete Tony Nese. This is a match set up last week in which Jack Gallagher attempts to defend Austin Aries' honor after being called out by Tony Nese. Of course, they recap the segment quickly before the match to get everyone up to speed. Jack starts off with his corner headstand as usual. Tony Nese tries to be tricky and unpredictable when he charges, but as usual, he's rewarded with 2 feet to run into for his efforts. Someone really needs to come up with a counter for this move from Jack Gallagher. Both competitors take turns doing the usual offensive move that brings a smile to fans' faces. Things you just don't see in the main roster action. Then later on, Tony Nese picks up Jack Gallagher into his suplex stand where he holds his opponent in the air with one hand while flexing, but Jack Gallagher is able to counter it and escape. As they flash to an image of Austin Aries watching the title match with his usual banana backstage, Jack Gallagher hits Nese with a vicious headbutt that knocks both men down to the mat. Then after Tony Nese is unable to hit a move from the top turnbuckle, they start the ending sequence of the match. Tony Nese runs at a stunned Jack Gallagher in the corner, but Gallagher dodges out of the way and Tony Nese runs into the ring post. He looks hurt and the ref attends to him. Gallagher looks like he wants to go for his corner dropkick, but the ref tells him not to as he's attending to the potential injury. However, when Gallagher turns his back on Nese to talk to the ref, Nese grabs Gallagher from behind and pulls him backwards, driving his head into the corner turnbuckle. Then Tony Nese hits his running Nese and pins Jack Gallagher for the surprising 3 count. A pretty entertaining match, and a great kickoff to the match for 205 Live. An impressive heel victory, building up Tony Nese as a better heel, in the sense taking the place of Austin Aries, which is kind of ironic because that was what Jack Gallagher was trying to prove that Tony Nese was not able to do. Then they flash to a locker room segment with Noam Dar talking with Alicia Fox on his FaceTime again, and this time it shows that Alicia Fox isn't done with Cedric Alexander after all. Noam Dar says to her that he thinks it's time they stop worrying about Cedric Alexander and just focus on the two of them. Then Cedric Alexander comes on going, "Move on! Move on! Move on! I've been saying that for weeks now. This is over!" Then Alicia Fox says, "No, it's not over, man. It's over when I say it's over." The Noam says that Alicia thinks, or rather the two of them think, that Cedric should leave 205 Live before they make his life a living hell. Cedric reminds him that he's been trying that for weeks, Wile E. Coyote, and asks him if he's not tired of failing. Then Alicia Fox says, "Failing? Tell him, Noam, or rather ask him." Noam then asks Cedric if he knows how to fush. When Cedric asks why, Noam says that he's going to have to fush his bag out of the bottom of the river. Cedric then grabs his bag and says, "This bag? What are you, 5? Noam then says to Alicia, "I thought you said Cedric's bag was gold with silver lit." And as he's saying this, Arya Daivari comes into the locker room looking for something. He says, "Hey Noam, have you seen my bag? My father bought that for me, and there's only like 2 in the world. It costs $15,000. Oopsie! Noam Dar makes a sign and backs out of the locker room like, "I'm gonna go now." The segment ends with Daivari calling out, "You guys, my bag! 15 grand! Seriously, has anyone seen my bag?" Then they show a recap montage of the tension between Drew Gulak and his Cruiserweight Crusade and Mustafa Ali and his love of high-flying wrestling moves and desire to do what he wants to in a ring. He defines Drew Gulak as a bully, not for having an opinion, but for pushing it on other people the way he does. Mustafa Ali says he doesn't like bullies. Did I mention I hate bullies? Don't be a bully, folks. No one likes a bully, and I particularly hate them. The jobber says, "Don't be a bully." Then they have the match. Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali. Drew Gulak comes out in typical fashion with the no-fly zone sign on his megaphone, this time preaching to Mustafa Ali that he doesn't need the high-flying moves. He says, "We know better than the WWE Universe. That's why we need to set the example. It's our job. So I propose this. Listen to me. I propose this. Tonight we work together for a better 205 Live, and we declare our match a no-fly zone. What do you say?" And then the fight begins. Mustafa Ali dropkicks Gulak out of the ring and flies over the top rope onto Gulak. He then throws Gulak back into the ring, and the ref holds Mustafa Ali back while he rings the bell to start the match. Early on, Ali does a nice reverse springboard vault out of the corner and onto Gulak. However, Gulak takes over the match a moment later by pushing Ali over the top rope, causing him to fall backwards, hit his arm on the apron, and roll onto the outside floor. Ali starts favoring his elbow while he lays on the floor outside the ring. Gulak gets a decent chorus of boos from the Dayton crowd at this point. This match is a relatively short match, and really does not do the feud justice. The match is typical to what you'd expect from these two, minus the high-flying moves from Ali. Ali does try to go for the dropkick from the turnbuckle, but Drew Gulak catches him. However, Ali then transitions and rolls Gulak into a leverage pin and gets the 3 count. This is a very strange way to end a match between these two. The match nor the ending did much to show that Ali was going to do high-flying moves, whether Gulak liked it or not. Oh well, I guess the story was meant to be, as the announcer said, Mustafa Ali beating Drew Gulak at his own game. I was not a fan of the match or the ending anyways. Then they show a backstage segment in the hallway where Austin Aries approaches Jack Gallagher. I won't go into much details about the segment because it wasn't very interesting in my opinion, but essentially Austin Aries and Drew Gulak agree to form an alliance, or as Aries puts it, a loose affiliation. Then they recap the beating Neville gave Rich Swann that prevented them from having a match last week, and flash to a backstage segment with Rich Swann and TJP. Essentially, TJP said he didn't appreciate what Rich Swann said to him before the match against Tozawa last week. Rich Swann reminds TJP that they've been boys for years, and he knows that Swann ain't about that. TJP says that Swann doesn't need to explain himself, as he knows why he did what he did. He then reminds Swann that the main event doesn't have him in it, but has Rich Swann, so Swann should do exactly what he told him last week, and go out there and take care of business. I think the segment was mostly to get TJP on TV, but it did kind of plant the seed that TJP wanted to get into Swann's head. It really didn't seem to play out much in the match, though. Then they show the teaser of Seth Rollins destroying a WWE warehouse for the upcoming WWE 2K18 game, for which Seth is a cover athlete. Seeing Seth Rollins blow up a warehouse has me quite confident that WWE 2K18 is going to be a great game. No, it doesn't. That trailer did very little for me. Tell me something about the game and why I should want to pre-order it, or buy it at all. The cheap things they do to promote the 2K game sometimes, I tell ya. And then we're on to the main event of the evening. Rich Swann versus Neville in non-title action. Before the match, they announce Akira Tozawa as he comes out in a suit to watch the match in style, courtesy of the Titus brand. Tozawa sits down and there appears to be an empty bag of popcorn, or at least I couldn't see any popcorn in it, and a drink with a lid on it with no straw. Was there even any drink in it at all? I tell you, the Titus brand seems pretty cheap to me. If Titus O'Neil worked for me in the restaurant I used to manage, I'd give him pretty low marks for his hospitality score. As an aside, several times in this match, Neville takes time to stare down Akira Tozawa, trying to create heat for their new rivalry, which is likely leading to a title match between the two of them in the near future. Of course, Rich Swann comes out to his usual, "Ooh, ooh, can you handle this? Ooh, ooh, can you handle this? Can you handle this?" This time he starts off going right after Neville, however. This is a dang good match. Rich Swann does a bunch of really nice cruiserweight moves, making me wonder why Drew Gulak isn't picking on him. Neville does a great job of punishing Swann solely with a ground-and-pound style. I can't really do this match justice by talking about spots, as this match was really good from start to finish. I'd say this is a good match to watch for yourself. It was after a very impressive showing by Rich Swann, looking like he was coming close to knocking off the champion, Swann misses a Phoenix Splash, and Neville puts the Rings of Saturn on him, and Rich Swann is forced to tap out. The show ends, as you'd expect, with a stare-down between Neville and Akira Tozawa, with Neville holding up the title at him. So that's all the Cruiserweight action for this week. Thanks for listening to this week's Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live in the WWE Cruiserweight Report. As always, I'm the Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, or on Instagram, at Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase letters. And check out my YouTube channel, where a lot of my wrestling content goes up, which is Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J. And check out my awesome website, DanimalDanielJobber.ca, where you get to see my popular Cruiserweight Power Rankings and all my other fun stuff. Once again, this podcast comes to you this week courtesy of the amazing Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, the Edmonton SPN. You can check us out on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and the mobile app Podbean to see great shows like Mike the Ref's The Blown Call and Quick Calls, great local wrestling action from CWC Evolution, and the always entertaining Chris Parrish and Maniac with the Sounds of Struggle podcast. When you realize how great we are, make sure you follow the Edmonton SPN on Twitter at Edmonton SPN, capital E, capital S, capital P, capital N, and follow Mike the Ref on Instagram at Mike the Ref EDM, all lowercase letters. And go to whatamaneuver.net to buy official Edmonton SPN merchandise, including the official Danimal Daniel Jobber, Jobber Champion merchandise. Of course, you can also find out more details on the merchandise on my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca. Anyways, that's all I have for you this week. Thanks for watching this week's episode of Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live WWE Cruiserweight Report. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week for another episode. Jobber out! Did I mention I hate bullies?
Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber. Ha 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 ha.